We were in Lubbock a few, oh, it might have been a month ago now, and heard a sermon on godly men, a dying breed. He started out, said he went in the store, and he went up to a desk, and he was being helped by a girl that was doing everything she could to be a man. And he said that bothered him, and he said, and I went to the back to the service desk, and there was a man that was doing everything he could to be a woman in his characteristics. And he said, that just blew me away. This is in Lubbock, Texas. And he said, I had to find out what's going on. And he came and he built a lesson, godly men, a dying breed. Because godly men produce godly families. Godly families produce godly communities. Godly communities produce godly states. You get the picture. And as he's talking about the structure of the family, he put up, at the start, he put up six verses. And I'm going to apologize to the guys that have taught over this. I've listened, but I'm blockheaded sometimes and it just hits and slides off. I'm going to put two verses up of the five that he shared. And we're not talking about necessarily the godly men, but this was where I kind of came up with the thought of the lesson today. We've studied the principles of the family. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And down in Proverbs, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. You know, remember, he was talking about the family. And these can't stand alone because there's love and stuff that go into it, but when he put the verses up and said, that's hate speech in America in a lot of circles today. I've gotten read, submit yourself to your husband. Husband is the head of the wife. Can you see certain circles when you go in and you tell them that, how they're going to fight you? He's not the head of me. I've got my own head. And that hit me hard, and I hadn't been able to get it off of my mind, the verses that he had. And I was thinking, what could cause this? And there's several things, but this morning we're going to talk about the American dream a little bit. The American dream can be different for every individual present today because you dream from old to young to older. And I can tell you one of Langston's dreams, we drive by, they parked a truck across from the dollar store, a semi, and put it for sale. We'd go to church, he'd see that truck. He's about three or four and said, let's buy that truck. I was going, I'm not going to buy the truck, and I just blew him off. And every time we went through town, he saw that truck, he wanted to buy the truck. I said, why do you want to buy the truck? He said, I want to haul pipe. I said, so you want to drive a truck and haul pipe? Yes. Let's buy it. And I said, you're too young. You can buy one when you're older. He said, put it in the backyard. I mean, he was working me. So he wanted to buy a truck. This was his dream. And then one day he went by, he said, where am I going to get my pipe to haul? I said, well, son, you'll have a job, and they'll deal pipe. Somebody will buy pipe from him. You'll haul it to him. He said, I don't want to work. I just want to haul pipe. So that was his American dream. He already had it down. He didn't want a job. He wanted to haul pipe. And a lot of times our American dreams like that. I looked at several different places, read several different articles about the American dream. Nice house, good job, financial security, family, and happiness. But everything he read is centered around independence and freedoms that we have. And I hear all the time in school, and many of you worked in school, and some of you might have said it because I know we had some recent graduates. At the end of the year, I was walking down the hall and the kid was disgusted and said, what's going on? He was mad. I got to get out of here. Wanting his independence and freedom, which is good when they get a certain age. And I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, well, the rules and got to get up. And I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but you're fixing to be free. And I said, what are you going to do? We've been a while since we talked, and Matt will get a kick out of this. He said, I'm going to join the Marines. And that was his way to get out. He's going to be independent. And he saw that as his way out. But we do seek independence and freedoms. Sometimes we make plans and put them into action to achieve the dreams we have. And I ask the question, is God a part of that plan? Many times we do not include him. This morning, we're defining the American dream. I looked, like I said, several articles. Material comfort, riches, life of freedom. If it feels good, it's okay to do it. and focused on self or a selfish attitude. Sometimes I think we mistakenly substitute the American dream with our expectation of our Christian life. We think if we do everything that we're supposed to, love Jesus, serve the church, study the word vigorously, will result in God giving us an American dream in a worldly sense. We cloud our dreams, or the world clouds our Christian walk. We need to remember Christian life is one of humble service and includes toil and struggle. And sometimes if we're making our dreams and we don't include God, we're serving here, our dreams are here, and they're not intertwined. Can you see where a wedge could be built between some and fall away? I'm doing all these things, but I hurt every morning. I can't hardly pay the bills. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you start separating yourself from God. And I think that happens in life. We're going to read that God has a dream and a plan for all. Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. God had a very specific purpose and plan for David, and he ensured that David fulfilled that purpose. Once the purpose was fulfilled, he died and went to be with the Lord. God has a plan for you and I, just like he did David, and we are to do his work and follow the plan. You know, we hear sometimes when you're talking, you hear people say, well, I'm going back a little bit. Well, that was back in biblical times. Times have changed. It's different now. We're going to look at an example of Sarah and Abraham's dream, the dream they had of their own. Genesis 16:1-5. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I despised her in the eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Sarah felt guilty because she could not have children. She talked Abram, her husband, into taking another wife, her slave, Hagar, thinking that would fix things. And also thinking that since she was her slave, the children would belong to her. They did all this without the counsel of God. This was their dream. There was soon a lot of tension among them, and they began to despise each other. Now we're going to read, we later see God's plan for Sarah bearing a child. And I will bless her and give her thee a son. Also her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of the nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90-year-old bear? And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. God renewed his covenant with Abram, and he called him Abraham. He also changed the name of Sarai to Sarah, and God did fulfill his promise in their dream. God has a plan and a dream for each of us to fulfill, and it might not be at the exact time we want, but he always fulfills his dreams. Abraham and Sarah dreamed of having a lot of kids together. God dreamed of them having one together, one son together, and be an instrumental part in the incredible covenant between God and his people. You can think also Moses probably dreamed of growing up in Pharaoh's palace. God dreamed of sending Moses into the desert for 40 years and using him to lead the people out of bondage. See, God has a dream for us. We need to serve him and know the word, live by the word, and seek his will, and his will be done. The American dream is of material comfort. We read, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So he laid up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. The parable describes a man that has done well. He's going back, get set back and enjoy his abundant fortune. Does that sound like our American dreams that we set? He's centered on self and his self-accomplishments. Thankfulness to God or helping others does not appear anywhere here. And God called him a fool because their soul's going to be required. And who's going to have the material things that he possesses? He didn't lay treasures in heaven. You know, when you think of this and you think of material things and material riches can be more than money. I mean, we can be blessed with just more than money. I don't know if you ever watch Undercover Boss. I watch some TV shows. And the thing that I pick up most, I love the end of it. They come out, the CEO, and he brags on the people and tells them they did a good job and rewards them for that. They always say, I never thought this would happen to me. Somebody like you brag on me and help me and care about me. You're the head of the company and you care about me. You know, they give them money and monetary gains, but they always seem more thankful. So it's more than just money to give. It's time. We can give time to people. It's just spending the time to get to know them and show them that we care as Christians. We care about their life. So when we read a parable of riches, sometimes it doesn't just mean money. It means everything we can offer in any way to serve God and help those people. American dream of free living and worldly passions. We read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Sometimes in the world it's hard to tell ourselves no. Many of us can follow our desires without thinking of the consequences to follow. Through God's word, Christians are strengthened and equipped to be able to control the worldly desires that we face. You know, we live in an age of technology where things are easy to grab. I'm glad I'm not a kid, because growing up in this time would be hard. Our principal, we sat back and talking the other day, and he said his son, which is grown and has a job in technology, talking about, man, things are great. We can just touch and grab and get it right there, instant gratification. You know, and that's true. And we can find anything we want, get any information we want. But sometime we're fixing to have to be patient in our lives. And when we're patient and we work toward a goal and get that goal, the feeling. Well, this is going to sound probably weird to mention, but he gave music as an example. He said, you remember when we was young? He's about my age, so it was a while back. And we heard a song on the radio that just came out and we loved it. We turned it up with our friends and we were excited. We were excited and happy. He said, now you just go download it, hear it, and there's no wait time. Instant. You know, as Christians, we're taught that patience, we need patience. And we constantly just going for the world, living in the world, grabbing what the world has to offer. We're going to keep grabbing and get deeper and deeper and deeper. So we do not need to live free and seeking worldly passion. American dream that focuses on self. We read, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from not above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying is, there is, and strife is, there is confusion and ever evil work. We do not need to have the jealousy and contention in our heart for each other. This causes the confusion where evil can sink in. We need to focus. Sometimes when we focus solely on ourselves and we're trying to win because we're taught to try to win, that we try to keep others down. You know, I think of this, go back to athletics. I was in a weight room and the coaches told this kid to put 250 pounds on a bar. He's going to power clean it. I can't even imagine that. And he came back and the kid had 240 pounds on there. He said, well, I told you 250. And this one, well, I told he can't do that. He just needs to do 240. because that kid was fixing to do more than him. And he was a leader trying to keep that one down. And they talked about, he said, you do know that while we're here, and he said, the goal is to be stronger. Why do you want to be stronger? So we'll have a better team. And so you keeping them down, how's that helping you? And he wanted to have a better team, but he wanted to be on top. He didn't want to, he was selfish of those that were above him. And he couldn't hardly see that. And they finally had to go around and to get this kid to understand, and this is the state we're in. Okay, he's stronger, you're better. Or he's stronger, the team's better. Now they'll double team him and you'll be free. So he had to go back to the selfish side to get him to understand. You know, we're bombarded all the time with self, and it's a me world, and everything we see in our communications. And a lot of time the communication that people see is TV. That's where they're getting it. They're not getting it from the Word of God or the Bible. That's where they're getting it, and they're focusing on themselves. We need to include God in our plans. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to the navel, marrow to their bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and their first fruits of thine increase. So shall their barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. We can have dreams and plans in our lives, and it's important, but when we get in trouble is when we ignore God when making those plans. We know the world's full of temptations and lies, and we can get lost, and if we continue on without seeking God's word. We're to fight against the devil at all times, and he walketh about seeking whom he can destroy. He's a lion in sheep's clothing. We need to arm ourselves with the word and acknowledge God and let him direct our paths. Our dream should include helping others. Even as I so please all men and all things, not seek mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We must help each other so that they may profit. When we do not try to help others profit, we also suffer. We need to find joy and happiness in others' accomplishments. There was a story I read on this, a story of a farmer, and you might have heard it. He heard of this new corn seed with high yields. So he went and bought some. Sure enough, he had the highest yields he'd ever had. And the other farmers came, they saw that, and they wanted part of it. And he wouldn't sell them the seed. He kept it for himself because he wanted to be above. He's afraid that they would get into his profit somehow. So the next year he planted the seed. It didn't produce like it did the first year. The next year, third year, he planted the seed and produced even worse than it did the second year. And what he came to realize, all the farmers around that had the other seed, it was cross-pollinating and taking his down. See, when we try to hold others down and we don't try to build up, we're not strengthening ourselves at all. We're weakening ourselves. Just like he weakened his corn crop. He thought he was going to be the top dog for years to come. Didn't want anybody in. And he weakened himself and his crop by being that way. So our dream, the American dream, should always include helping others. I've got another story, and this is a personal one. You can probably tell selfishness might be my problem. When we had kids, you know, birthdays and Christmas, that's the berries, you know, it's just fun. They're getting their presents, and we'd always get the list and give to the grandparents. And when the kids were little, I wondered who my dad was. I wondered who took him and put this guy here, because he acted way different with them than he ever did with me. So I understood that they were special. But along the line, they'd buy us, man, I was going to get this. And I'd go down the list and I was going to buy that. And they're beating me to it. And you know what? After a year of that, it kind of bothered me. I said, am I ever going to get to buy them something fun? And that was selfish, very selfish. But I never said anything, luckily, or I'd probably had enemies for life. I never said a word but I finally realized what I was doing. I needed to find joy in that. I needed to find joy and see joy in their face giving that to them and the joy they're getting receiving it. Not try to build myself up in their eyes. And that's how we need to be. We need to see joy and have real sincere happiness when somebody's doing well. Whether you got credit for it or not, who cares? Later on in life, since the toys are getting a little more expensive, I tried to get them to buy them and they won't do it. See, I was looking for my benefit. That's tough to say, but it's true. Slaps me in the face sometimes. So let's find joy in others having happiness and find joy in helping others succeed and be successful. Our dreaming should include doing God's will. Not every man saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall I enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We not only have to know the Lord, but we have to do his will, the will of the Father, and do his will. Our happiness depends on doing the will of the Father, so our dreams should include that if we seek the happiness. We need to keep heaven in our dream. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, Jesus Christ. We need to always press on toward our goal and being more like Jesus every day. Do not let things that have happened in the past keep us from striving to be better each day. This will help us be successful in God's eyes. I always had a saying as a coach, you have to believe something, you have to dream it, and you have to go achieve it. I believe you have to believe and study the word and act on that belief. I believe it can then become a dream of attaining a heavenly goal. And then I think we as Christians, we go out and achieve it. So we need to keep heaven in our dreams. Heavenly dreams while living in America, for what man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? I'm proud to be from the United States, so I don't think that I'm not proud to be from America. And I have dreams. I think we all have dreams. I'm proud for the people that fought for us so we can have the freedom to be here today. A little less free than we used to be from the men in the back. I don't want you to think that I don't believe in dreams, but again, when I said at the start, when we don't include God in our dreams, I think that's when we have problems. Because then we're building dreams from ourselves and our heart, and we're not using God's word to guide us. And that's our guide in our families, in our lives, how we handle people, how we deal with people. That's our guide. And I really think in today's world, we're falling down a little bit on that. We was talking earlier, and Garland, he said, you know, I think as Christians, sometimes we don't speak out when we need to fear that people are going to see us wrong, see us as above them. And we don't want them to see them as above them, but they need to know that we stand and believe always. That we stand, believe. They need to know that we're sincere in love, we're sincere in helping, we're sincere in wanting them to see well, do well. They need to know that. And I talked to Sean once, and he said there's a day that we're going to probably be viewed as the Amish before it gets better, just a small society. We need to do everything we can, arm ourselves with the word, and do everything we can to fight that. Everything. And serve God. I'm going to end with a story. A gentleman captured two baby eagles and raised them with great care. They grew to be fine specimens of this noble bird until one day the door of their cage was left open by accident and the birds escaped. One flew to a nearby tree and roosted on a low branch, for it could not use its wings. Never have learned to fly except in the close confinement of the cage. It was not long until it met an untimely death by the gun of a hunter. Another eagle fell and was knocked into the swift flowing stream and was drowned. Both of these eagles missed God's plan for their lives by being taken captive by man. They were created to live in high places and soar aloft in the sky, but instead they were doomed to live on the ground and meet an early death. God created you and me to live in a high place and to carry out great plans he has for our life. May we have wisdom to yield our lives to him so the forces of sin may not take us captive and cause us to miss his plan for our life. God has a plan for you and I. Just like the eagles, the world can capture us and we can be captured from man, by man and not reach our goal in that plan. We need to have the wisdom to give our lives to God so that we're not captive to sin.